It is Thursday, the 13th of December, and this is episode 145 of Digital Outbox. Is it really 145 episodes? Is it really that long? I'm Chris, and as ever, I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey.
Good evening.
That's the first Christmassy bit we've got into our show tonight, and probably the last.
It's not in the mood today.
I don't know. Now that we're podcasting, you know, get a bit of a sparkle back. Get a bit of the twinkle like the stars.
You always give me a twinkle in my eye.
That's really nice. I am fully snotted up this week, so I apologise if I do break out in a coughing fit or do sound like a bit of a mong. Never mind.
About what?
I'm not sure. I was trying to think of a word that I could use that would be appropriate to a
sex pest.
I'd rather we didn't podcast that I was a sex pest. Thanks very much.
Let's just clarify, you're not one, but you sound like one.
Is this what they sound like? Is this how you know what people are a sex pest?
I wouldn't know.
Anyway.
Shaq told me they did.
Must be right then. starting today, the BPI, that's the British phonographic industry.
I was going to say pornographic.
Yeah, it's not though. It is phonographic. It's very easy to mistake the two. They've been chasing Pirate Bay through proxies this time. So where Pirate Bay was all taken down by ISPs, some proxies sprung up, including one coming from the UK Pirate Party. And they have been pretty much telling them that they've got to shut down their proxy.
Well, it's
shut
bizarre.
Down, fool!
We said at the time, you know, so an ISP said it at the time, I mean, yes, we can go and do this block, but people will find ways. It's dead obvious. So the Pirate Party set up this proxy. They're now in one of the top 10 sites in the UK. because of this. So it's not exactly like hard to do. What I couldn't believe, so the BPI are basically saying, we're going to take it to court, we're going to force you to shut it down. For every one that shuts down, another one will open up. You can run your own proxy. There's so many ways of doing it. Somebody's determined enough to do it, they'll do it. But I mean, during May, Google received more than 99,000 takedown notices for this one proxy.
That is what stuck out in my mind. 99,000 takedown notices. Now, I'm not sure how many minutes there are in May. There's probably quite a few thousand, but that is an awful lot of takedown notices. So someone must be employed purely. I mean, surely if they could be making music all the time, then they wouldn't have to, you know, do so many takedown notices. Well, they certainly wouldn't have time to. But yes, it was a bit ridiculous. And they're flogging a dead horse, basically. Never mind.
And in some ways they are. I mean, certainly they have made quite an impact in things like newsgroups this year. So we've seen Newsbin disappear. One of the most prominent ones that kind of replaced Newsbin was a site called NZB Matrix. It suddenly on Sunday morning says, right, we're done. Much to people's angst. Because A, it was very reliable, and B, it was also you paid $10 for a lifetime kind of membership. Right, yeah. And you could have bought a lifetime membership on Saturday for $10.
And that was
So some people felt a bit miffed that, yeah, you've robbed my money.
Newsbin's the secret area of the internet has now been discovered.
and it's even if you find a way to get the NZB files and make it dead easy, there's lots of takedowns now on lots of the media files that are being hosted. So it's it is becoming more challenging, shall we say.
but as a sideswipe to this, a legitimate site run by the Pirate Bay has also been included in a takedown, basically. And this is a site that doesn't include any infringing copyright. It's not hosted on the same servers or in the same site, although it is still Pirate Bay. But that's also been taken down.
Yep. So Promobi, which is all about promoting independent artists, is also part of this takedown. I guess this is the risk of, I mean, people at the time said this is a slippery slope. Once you start blocking one site, you're going to have to block a whole load. Once you block a whole load, there'll be ones incorrectly targeted and blocked.
And then you're censoring.
Exactly. And as we've seen with the proxies, it is easy to work around. People will be willing to work around it for the Pirate Bay, for obvious reasons, not so much Promo Bay.
No, and the Promo Bay is the legit side of it. But, you know, I guess that's, you know, as an operator, if you choose to run close to the wind, then maybe this is the kind of, we get a bit burnt. But say, that shouldn't happen, no matter what. Nook Video is coming to the UK. They said it was going to come early December, and it is here. Good for them. One of the notable things that they've got going on with Nook Video is they call it Ultraviolet. And basically, the specially stickered Blu-rays you can buy. And basically, once you prove that you own them, you can access them in the cloud, basically, and watch them wherever you like.
Yes. And this was Ultraviolet's been talked about for, what, a couple of years? And it's kind of been slow to kind of come out. And it's now here. I think it's been in America for a bit longer than here, but I know Dark Knight Rises, etc., are coming
it's
out with it.
Still not widely widely used anywhere, though. The idea is that you buy it once, and then you can watch it wherever you like in high quality. It sounds like a really good idea, but there's very few Blu-rays that have got it on.
There are very few Blu-rays, and there's even fewer people with a Nook tablet.
Well,
I still don't know anybody with a Nook.
Yes, and they've got some, Nook's got some good deals with BBC, HBO, Warner Brothers. So whether those can hold up, it's, the problem is Kindle Fire kind of stole the march on that.
And seemingly the software is coming out to iOS and Android.
So I think they're trying to get a
bit of brand recognition on those platforms and also pushing Ultraviolet forward.
But I think even in America, where Barnes & Noble is far more well-known, they still haven't had a massive impact on the market there. BBC launching what they're calling Red Button 2. Effectively, you're going to get some internet content coming in when you press the red button now instead of just over-the-air content.
That's it. Next story.
Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. So you can and it's pretty limited. It's only limited to Virgin Media's TiVo service at the moment, but it will be coming to other services. So expect to see it soon. Seems like a logical next step. Good for BBC. BBC have also promised that they are going to focus on the Android for their iPlayer. Woohoo! Because as we all know, Android tends to lag behind in all these things, but the BBC have come along and said because of the impact that the Kindle Fire and Nexus 7 has had, they have decided they will now concentrate on making sure the Android player is up to scratch. Good news.
Yeah, and as you know, I've now got my Nexus. It's all a bit new to me. And one of the things lots of people have been saying, I'm actually surprised how many people have been saying, what should I get my kid for Christmas, iPad or a Nexus? You know, so even to be getting considered, whereas, you know, over the last 2 years, it's been iPad or nothing, is like, it just shows you the step forward that the Nexus 7 has made, really. And I've always kind of been like, yeah, it's hardware's really good. Software library is still a bit iffy.
I couldn't recommend anything but an iPad mini.
And the things I pointed out were things like iPlayer doesn't work in the Nexus 7. You know, it installs the app and you go to play something and it says you need to install this media software, not doesn't support at Nexus 7. You're like, what?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and that's been one of the things that I was very surprised at, that it's there and not working. And BBC put this article up, I think it was about 2 days ago. And to be fair to them, the iPlayer app came out today. Okay. So the update's out and it's working.
Good.
And video quality is excellent. So that's another.
Yes, because they've enhanced that as well. They've made sure that it's good quality over Wi-Fi, basically. So if you're at home or in the comfort of a Wi-Fi zone, you can have good quality video.
And I think it shows that, I mean, the developers, especially, I don't think so much the independents, but the kind of big companies that are throwing lots of money at these, are saying, you know, once we get a sizable market, then yes, we will target those platforms. So we are seeing, you know, basically this iPlayer update is for Jelly Bean 4.2, and it's Kindles and Fires that are really driving that for the BBC. Yep. I think both those devices are now in their kind of top five, but I think before the top five, there's probably only a top two. You know, it was probably the two iPads and then nothing much else. So it's just the fact that they're now driving significant traffic and people are demanding it.
Yeah, well, too
much. And it's good. It's all good for the tablet markets.
All good for the tablet markets. Not so good for newspapers on the tablets. The Daily has shut down. So the Daily was set up by the Rupert Murdoch Empire. easy for me to say. and they've decided it's not making enough money to think that it's going to be an ongoing concern, basically.
Yep,
they've so chopped it.
The last daily is Saturday. And I remember when it came out and was all
I've never read
excited.
It.
It was guff.
Was
I
it?
Just didn't, yeah. I just didn't think the content justified. You know, I was hardly reading it when it was free. Never mind actually paying for the thing.
Yeah.
And it just felt very closed. It was, you know, there's no web presence.
Far too much of the Daily Mail in its title as well.
Yeah. Well, the fact it had a D in it was enough. Never mind. Yeah. But so I don't think there's a great surprise.
No.
Because it was losing millions.
To be honest, I'd forgotten it was still going, to be honest. But yeah. In some ways, it's a shame because it's not the saviour of newspapers for paid, you know, bespoke content, basically. But the Times is doing, you know, is still focusing towards tablets. They're trying to get a slice of something because they're now doing an offer where if you subscribe to be a Times reader and you say you're okay about having lots of paper chucked through your door every day, they will give you a Nexus 7 tablet for £50.
Which I think it's actually, I'm reading through it because I think it's actually when you sign up for the digital edition.
Okay.
Maybe not. I think I'm sure it was. So if you're willing to pay £200 for the daily, or sorry, for the digital subscription.
Okay, so you don't have to have the paper then.
Then they throw in a Nexus 7 tablet for £50.
Yeah. So yeah. And then eventually, when they've got enough tablet penetration, they'll, you know, start trying to push it even more, I guess.
Yes.
We'll see.
I think it's a good sign that they're trying to do something different. They still believe that
they still want to do something. I mean, they need to do something, as we all know, and they are trying lots of different avenues, and I think this is a good idea. Good for them. They're also making the Daily Mirror free. That's the daily version, so not the Sunday version or the Saturday version, but you can now get all that content for your iPad for free.
Basically, if you want to read a rag and for free, you can.
Why you would want to, I don't know. But they have added extra features in, things like videos and interactive adverts. Woo!
I did download the Daily Record edition just so I could read about, you know, the bitterness up here in Scotland. And the only interactive edition, only interactive feature I could see in the first one was a YouTube video from Strictly Come Dancing. Right. That's just what I want, and that's value add, right there.
What I didn't realise that they have so many different regional versions of the newspaper. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
amazing.
But it's all but see if you're a reader. See if you actually read one of the papers. It's now free on the iPad, and it works. Mm-hmm. And it works as a newsstand paper. So overnight, you know, I got up in the morning and it was delivered. It was there.
Well, there you go. But so I just don't want the Daily Mirror.
No.
Anyway.
Funny that.
Yeah. The UK Internet Monitoring Bill, they're going to rewrite it. Now, we covered this when it was first announced by Theresa May.
Well, it's panto season, so I have to do something.
It's behind you. So this was the bill which was trying to give the same kind of rights that police have on phone tapping to internet data, because where people are moving away from phones now, they wanted to put it on the internet, which meant that all the ISPs were going to have to store all the information on everyone, and police could actually look at the detail. They could look at the overview of it without actually having to get a warrant to view the detail. So it basically kicked up a lot of fuss at the time, and it looks like it's now sort of settled it down, and they're going to rewrite it so it's a bit less wide ranging.
Yeah, and seemingly Clegg, everybody's a baddie in this story. Seemingly Clegg was very much against it, and he did say he was going to block it, but we've heard that before. And
well, they've got to say it every once in a while. Makes it feel important.
Exactly. So it is being rewritten, but I think there was a lot of feedback. I couldn't care less, because I don't think his opinion counts. So reality is that I think amongst many committees that were investigating it, there was lots of flaws found with it.
Yeah, and it's good that they now know there were flaws in it, and they haven't just, you know, pressed ahead, which is... And we've seen that quite a few times recently, where there has been a bit of a backlash from the tech community initially, that then gets wider and wider and gets into the, you know, daily journalism. And then it does seem like they've listened to that, which is good.
Unfortunately, the only thing that they listened to was it wasn't about the kind of freedom of speech and all that kind of nonsense and liberties at risk. It was things like, would it actually benefit the police? And the estimates of costs and benefits were seen as fanciful and misleading.
I guess in a way, if it comes out with the right result at the end of it, it doesn't really matter the reason behind it. Okay, EE, they are continuing their 4G, I don't know what,
bludgeon.
March.
Bludgeon.
They're really kind of hitting home their early adopter advantage, and they're going to roll it out to 17 more towns and cities.
Yes.
By March next year.
So if you live in Sutton Coldfield, game on.
Brilliant. Along with a list of another. I'm sure if you're particularly interested in getting 4G, you will.
Dudley as well is getting some 4G.
Good, good.
That's about as much as my regional accent's going to.
It wasn't very good either, but yeah, you'll get to hear it in a minute. Right, so, they really are pressing home this. Now, I don't know whether this is at the expense of, you know, their 3G network. I cannot imagine that they can expand this quickly without having an impact on the 3G network.
Shaq, so as I've mentioned before, Shaq's now in 4G and gets good speeds. Not where he needs it. So at work, where it would really help him the most, he's on 3G.
Right.
So, but the 3G is fine. 3G is really good.
Okay. So it doesn't seem to impact him then.
No. And unlike me, I'm going to have to potentially move from 3. I'm getting real trouble with him at the moment.
Mm.
Very unhappy. Even just making calls is really difficult.
Tam's probably moved on to them.
So it's I'm either going to have to talk to Apple and get the iPhone replaced, or talk to 3 and leave. It's annoying me.
You're gonna have to talk to someone. Oh my god.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think talking to 3 means talking to India. I don't want to turn this into a racial incident, and I I'm not broadcasting to India, but the this is Ian calling India.
Do you want to step away from this one? Shall we just move on to the next story?
I don't actually, because it's a well-known fact, and I keep on mentioning him tonight because he's paramount in my head, but out of the podcasters in this team, and Coach Shaq in this, he is the designated racist amongst us. So I have no qualms about talking about India, whereas Shaq does.
There you go. Instagram decided it's not going to play with Twitter anymore. Taking my toys and going to use them by myself.
And to be fair, this is all because Twitter says, no, we won't allow you to leverage our social network to go and find other users. You can sod off.
Yep. It's tit for tat.
Yep. So Instagram, now owned by Facebook, then said, initially this started off with, actually, we're not going to take them away. We'll just make them look worse. We'll kind of randomly crop them into like a corner or just make it look ugly. No, you're not going to get nice Twitter cards that you're trying to promote. And then a few days later, they actually said, right, just let's make them blank.
So. The problem is it's users that suffer. And, you know, one of the reasons Instagram did become successful was because it was easy to post up to Twitter. And then people saw them. And it's recently, when they've, you know, been done this properly embedded stuff, it does make things easy to see and share your photos. But, yeah, comes from the back of the, you know, Twitter's closing its doors, so Instagram saying, I'm not playing with you anymore. And I think we might see more of this, you know. In fact, I have seen several other places which used to integrate properly with Twitter, which seem to, yes, now you have to link to their website to go and do it.
I think it was people were happy before when there was a link there and it was a way of, you know, kicking people on at the sites. What they're not happy about is Twitter changing it to these cards and saying, actually, we're going to almost like, you know, do a pass through. We'll pull that content and nobody leaves our site. And it's.
I understand why Twitter want to do that, and I understand why other people aren't happy, because if they've got advertising around your pictures on Instagram, which is how they fund themselves, well, you know, they're missing out on it, aren't they? Anyway, yes. I think we'll see more of this tit for tat, especially now Twitter are taking the more hardline stance. And where we have these weird relationships between other companies, you know, it could. You know, them taking a stance over one person might then spread like wildfire, basically. But as everyone seems to be doing, Twitter have now got filters. Yay!
Never did I think that 2012, you know,
was the just, year of the filter.
Yeah, let's just add some cack filters. Let's make every picture look like it's from the 70s.
I mean, I have to say, you know, some people do make some quite nice looking photos, but you just think, oh, you just filtered a really crap photo there.
Grunge effect.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, Twitter, the next day, Twitter added these filters to the photos, and to be honest, they're a bit crap. You know, I know you can argue that a filter is a filter, but some of the Instagram ones were actually very nice. And some of these ones are a bit kind of,
they're a bit kind of, oh, we've got to do something now, so let's do some filters. How can we do this in the quickest way possible?
And it's powered by Avery, so it's not even themselves that have done this. They've kind of leveraged on a third party to provide this functionality.
As have Flickr.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah, Flickr's got filters.
this for me is a bit more interesting. I'm a Flickr pro user. I don't know if you are or you gave up on it.
No, I am still, but I don't know why. I might as well just grab them.
I know why I am, because they've bloody bit, I almost said wrong things. They've hijacked my photos every year, $25 or whatever. And if you don't, it's like, well, there's 200 of your photos and everything else is kind of locked away. And it's my content.
But the thing is, you can go and grab them all back down, can't you, I think?
And I will be.
Yeah.
But let's not dwell. Flickr for ages had a really poor iOS app.
Yes.
Really kind of like bare minimum. You know, it was a bit cack looking, didn't really offer much functionality. And people screamed when Instagram started, why isn't Flickr doing this? Why isn't Flickr making it dead easy to take a picture and put it up on the website? As many people have said, Flickr was almost like one of these original, they had an opportunity to build on what they had and build a Facebook.
But they thought they'd done it all right, didn't they? They thought they'd got it sorted and they didn't adapt.
I think this is, again, the influence of Marissa Mayer coming in. You know, we've seen a lot of focus. Similarly, the engineering team at Flickr has doubled after years and years of decline.
Yeah, but we seem to see these little flurries every time they get a new, manager. CEO, yep, or whatever, and then that kind of dies back quite quickly again, and then the CEO leaves. So
the thing about the Flickr app, so yes, it lets you take a picture, and yes, there's some filters in there, and yes, it's also powered by Avery. So it's a big week for Avery. They've obviously done some good deals in the background, and the editing tools are very sweet. You know, when you look at the Flickr app now, really nice editing tools, and really nice control over everything in the photo. So it's actually really powerful. For me, the biggest part is it's a fantastic front end to my Flickr account. It's a great way of seeing photos. It works really quickly, and it lets me just hit everything. I can get to discussions easily. I can get to groups. I can get to contacts. It's
enough to keep you for another year.
It's a fantastic app.
Okay.
I kind of know I'm going to be signing up anyway. Yeah. I think even last year I signed up for 2 years.
Because it's actually just less of a pain in the ass than having to drag all your photos down, isn't it?
Well, it's more. Oh, I don't know. It's more there's two things. I need to take more photos. That's one. And the second aspect is, part of me is like, I really should just host my own data. You know, I've got my blog, I've got my website, I've got whole of the domains. It's free. I could do it for free. It wouldn't be as pretty, but if I spent some time, it would be.
Yeah.
And but I do like Flickr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yahoo also updating their mail client, amazingly. So, you know, Yahoo's kind of fallen off the map a bit of the, you know, the company. We keep saying that they're always in the news because they're always in crisis mode. But they have decided they will update their mail app, which millions of people still use, and going down the route that everyone went down a little while back. So simplifying, cleaning, making it focused, giving it
this again. Clean. This again was a really big launch because it wasn't just like an iOS app coming up. It was the web, iOS, Android, and Windows 8 apps.
Yeah, all it shows they've definitely been doing stuff, which is great.
And it certainly seems to be a lot of really some good design getting applied to these clients as well. It's not just simply there's an update, there you go, be happy. You know, some really good ways of using email. I don't use Yahoo. I've not used Yahoo in years. Shaq actually uses it as his primary account.
Okay.
And the only thing that's putting him off is he doesn't want to have multiple email apps, you know, one for Yahoo, one for Google, you know, one for Apple. He'd rather just, you know, use the iOS mail and just go in through that, and he gets all his mail in one place.
See, it's funny. I'm a Google Apps user. We'll come on to that later. And basically, I use that as my central point. I use that to pull in everything else, and it's because it's so versatile. That's what I do.
And is that odd? But on it, for example, on the iPad, do you then have the Gmail app and you've got all your accounts in that rather than using the iOS mail?
Because everything gets into my Gmail account via either pulling it via pop accounts or it pushes there by forwarding or whatever. So it always arrives there.
So even though I'm Gmail for everything as well, but I still prefer iOS, and it's for one reason: unified inbox. I hate going into different accounts.
Then again, I can point my iOS.
I don't want to point.
No, but as in, I can have my iOS can just be pointing to my Google apps as one of my universal inboxes, and it just works the same there as well. So it's,
I know.
You know. Yeah. What difference does it make?
Makes a difference
now.
To me. Makes a difference to me.
You never know once it's set up. So we have seen a new Gmail client for iOS.
This is actually a big upgrade.
So I've not downloaded it yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, good. It's a big step up. So they bought Sparrow, 6 months ago, 5 months ago.
Yeah, I remember we touched on that, yeah.
And
because the Sparrow was doing something special with their client, weren't they? That everyone was going, ooh, this looks looking good.
Sparrow was a Mac and iOS app, got lots of great press, very simple front end. When iOS one came out, lots of touch-driven, lots of people loved it. It was a far quicker way of managing their mail. Got lots of good press, and they got bought.
So it's amazing that we're seeing something maybe from that team quite so quick then.
And I don't know if it is purely from them or whether they just came into influence, you know, and that's what you'll never know. But certainly it's, again, a lot more gesture-driven in the front end. So again, much quicker to get through your email. And I actually liked it. I thought it was really, really nice app.
Well, it'll definitely be one of my downloads, so I'll definitely see it soon, which is good.
Yes. And it's... I think it just came out after the Android one. So Android got an update through the week as well. And it was actually seemed to be extra features on top of the Android one, which was interesting. And I don't know if it's just have they got different teams, or are they just always trying to one-up?
You know, it's just a bit of a leapfrog thing going on. But also, I mean, Apple always say they want extra features. They're not happy to accept things in the App Store.
But I don't think they're going to go and look at a Gmail app on Android and say, we need to have more. More?
Be surprised.
No, come on. Come on. You don't believe that.
We've got Maps for iPhone.
Woo-hoo.
Well, I should say Maps. We've got Google Maps for iPhone, which is the same as saying we've got Maps for iPhone.
there's too many cheap jibes in this, isn't
there?
Yeah,
there's too many cheap jibes. So basically, great. They've released the app and it's based on their Vector now. So Vector Maps 2 and 3D.
Before we talk about it, the best bit to go to whereisgooglemaps.com.
I haven't done that yet.
So click on that link, It's in the show notes, and if you're at home, whereisgooglemaps.com.
It says, it's here.
And it just gives you a link to the App Store.
There you go.
And I just thought it was great because they obviously know that so many people since iOS 6 came out were saying,
where's Google Maps? Perfect. SEO. Almost like it's their business or something. So basically the delights of Google Maps is properly now on iOS as well. So you've got turn by turn, street view, all their vector stuff. The only thing that's missing at the moment is offline saving of content. So if you wanted to, you know, whereas the Android will store your journey in its entirety, I think it needs a data connection for the iOS app. But interestingly, they've also they've put in an easy API for other apps to integrate into it. So where they've now lost the official API integration across the platform, the iOS platform, they've now put their own in place, which should allow people to integrate with Google Maps should they want to.
Absolutely. And a couple of interesting things for me, really fast. So I just loved the and I compared the iPhone to the Nexus. It's faster than that. So that was just, you know, trying to hit buttons at the same time. And again, it's hard to kind of compare because And I did do it over Wi-Fi just to try and rule out, you know, anything's ones in Wi-Fi and ones in 3G or ones, you know, hotspotted or whatever. But you get different processors and different things running. So it's always one of these, but it just genuinely everything it did was a lot quicker.
Yep.
I love the tiles. An interesting quote, David Pogue, New York Times, seemingly is quoting that Google have admitted that the iOS app is better implemented than the Android one.
Again, this could be their leapfrogging thing. But, you know, I guess they've been resting on their laurels with the Android app for a while. So maybe this, you know, just having to do it for a new platform, you go back to square one almost, don't you?
And I think they're admitting that because what they've said is that it's continually evolving. So they've kind of plunked on menus onto the Android one. Yeah. They've had the starting point and then it's grown. Whereas this was like, if we had to do a brand new app, let's reimagine how we do it.
Yep.
And it's also tried to support, you know, some of that kind of iOS.
It's also aspects. Not Google I.O. time of year, so they don't have to bother about it, Android, until next year.
But you think back, 2 months, and there was people saying it'll never happen. People saying that Apple will never release it. And it was like,
there it is.
It's here and it's out. And it's also the number one free app in the App Store.
Of course it is.
It's a 5-star app. It's got amazing reviews. A couple of little fanboy reviews in it as well. Like somebody was complaining about that how poor the frame rate was. And I'm like, what?
Frame rate on a map?
The frame rate is poor. Hope it's fixed in next update. 3 stars. And also it was like 7 out of 12 people found that helpful. And I was like, no, I will no to that. That's some little Apple fanboy punk writing crap. Because the app itself is what's a treat. And also, for the first time, we've got Turn by Turn, you know, for free on iOS from Google, you know, which has been always on exclusive on Android and kind of locked away from Apple users. It's there with full voice.
In some ways, though, you can see why Apple ditched. However, we don't know which way it turned, do we? We don't know what. But
there was a two different sides, wasn't there? Yeah. Apple says they wanted navigation because it was a differentiator, and Google says we'll give you that, but we want access.
We
want to
be able
data.
To, yeah.
And certainly, the first thing you get when you fire up the app, you need to sign in.
Yeah, which is a bit dirty, but also, it's the way of things. And,
it is.
You know,
and I signed in, and lots of people were retweeting it this morning, saying, "Oh, finally, here's Google Maps." The other one that was popular was, "Here's how to disable them tracking your data." And I'm not fussed about that. I've kind of gone with you in this one. Everything's out there already, so what does it matter? And I was surprised how many people said, "Now I can update to iOS 6," because they'd relied on Maps so much,
yeah,
and there was so much bad press, there was no point in them even trying it, because it was for them, they relied on Maps.
That shows, you know, people are savvy enough to do that, I guess.
What I liked was, now I can update to iOS 6 and take great advantage of all those other features, like...
yeah, quite. Google's killed off free Google Apps for Business. They are not killing off the product, but you have to now pay the premium, which is only $50 per year. But nevertheless, if you want to sign up for an account now, it does cost you $50. That's not to say, as an individual person, you can still have access to Google Mail and things like that, all the services for free. It's just... the actual Google Apps suite that is now costing money. So people like me who have already got the free account continue to get to use that and do not need to get a subscription, but they're no longer accepting new users on that basis.
And it wouldn't surprise me at some point if they said, actually existing users, we're going to have to start charging you, I don't know.
Because it's Google, I don't think they will.
I just see at some point, I think they're going to have to.
But if they did that, I wouldn't mind. It's a great
But that's what I'm saying. I think at some point there's going to be this, like, you know, people get so much use out of it that see a $10, $20 a year charge just to say, you know, you're getting this great set of products for free. I mean, for us, for the podcast, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, but you don't need a Google Apps account to do what we're doing on the podcast. You can just do it as an individual person.
No, but that whole suite of tools is really useful.
Yeah. And really, honestly, $50 a year is amazing value, really. You know, the only thing that will move me onto the paid one, unless they force me on, is the size of the inbox. And it's already massive anyway. So
Exactly.
I've been on it now for probably, I'm going to say 4 years. It's maybe even be longer than that. And I've never filled up the inbox, and I hardly ever do anything to delete anything. You know, I delete absolute rubbish, but the rest, that's amazing that it's that many.
I do a once a year task of deleting my WordPress blog and also the podcast blog and backups, because I email backups to the accounts. Mm-hmm. And once a year, I just think, I don't need these, delete.
Yep.
And that's about it.
It's bonkers how much space you get.
That's about it.
Yeah, we got some 2012 porn now for you, Ian.
Yes. So it's,
this is Ian porn. This is not this is not normal porn.
It just sounds wrong. Yeah. So many ways. So Twitter and Google, and I think Facebook have got this out as well. This is the kind of this is the what was popular this year. So Google Zeitgeist is out, and it tells you all about what was popular in the UK and all that kind of good stuff. Twitter are doing it. They've got their golden tweets. So there was like the four, this is the tweets that got most retweets. So there was Obama getting re-elected, some Justin Bieber guff, something about the NFL. And interestingly, Team GB in there as well. So 29 gold, 17 silver, 19 bronze, finished third in the medal table, our most successful years. And then hashtag our greatest team, retweet.
Can I get a whoop whoop?
67,000 plus retweets.
Wow. I'm still quite surprised how low that retweet number is, considering how massive the service is. I guess, you know, if it goes out from a big account, it doesn't need to be retweeted, does it?
No. And then, I'll put the links in the show notes. A whole load of interesting stuff from the year, you know, who's been popular and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, this is a data lover's, you know, wet dream, isn't it? It's just, it is great. And they've year on year, they've improved what they visualize and how they're visualizing. How can we show what the year was in, you know, in data and stuff. And it is amazing.
Yes, no, absolutely. And certainly you can also see the change in Twitter. As previously it was just some lists. What you're getting now is a lot more visual. You know, they're putting in the images that were attached, and you can see they're changing that platform. You can see it's happening. Yeah. You know, it's metamorphing. So,
there's some extra syllables needed in there somewhere.
I can't be bothered. I'll edit that out, and I'll just get used to it. There should be some extra syllables in there, and I'll add in a different word. Like, you're a cock. And there used to be some extra syllables in there, Ian.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. I can't be asked.
Now you might. Anyway, the links will be in the show notes. If you happen, I guess we should mention them rather than pointing people to the show notes that they'll never go to. It's 2012.twitter.com. And it's google.co.uk/zeitgeist. I'll leave you to work out the spelling. Last FM, who are shutting down their radio services, are now launching Scrobbler for iOS. So this is how they are going to continue to exist. And Scrobbler is just basically a music information service, as far as I can work out. Scrobbler used to be that it tweeted and put out whatever you were listening to at the time, right?
Well, you just the Scrobbler was the whole idea of whatever you're listening to, you fed it back to Last FM.
Ah, okay.
So your most Scrobbler tracks and all that kind of nonsense.
So it was actually Last FM's sort of where it found out what you were listening to. Yeah.
Exactly. And then when iOS first came out, everybody wanted how can we integrate? And they were like, well, we can't run anything in the background. So there's no way as you play your music on there. And I guess I've always had a helper app on the old Mac and Windows that you can sit in the background, and as you sync, it'll say, mm-hmm. we've found all these tracks you've played and I'll upload them, blah, blah, blah. What I never understood is why there was so many third-party apps that came out and said, well, let you access your iOS library and we'll Scrobble. And I was like, why didn't Last FM do this? So they've finally done it. It's out today. And the nice thing is, because a lot of the third-party apps don't let you access your music if it's in iCloud, but this one does.
There you go.
And it's free. And seemingly it gives you other ways of getting playlists and suggested new music, which is always it's always the kind of nirvana. If it can suggest new things that you will like, then it gets a tick in the box.
It does. Last event, it was a...
It's dead.
I had a moment with it. I had a moment with it, but I just...
I had a couple of years, and to be honest, the client still runs in the background for me, and every so often I think, just turn this off. Because I never visit. I visit the website once a year just to have a look and see if anybody else still uses it.
No.
I get no value out of it whatsoever, but I've still put the app because it's free on my iPhone.
Breaking news. I know this is going to affect an awful number of people, Ian.
Shaq's dad.
Sony have ceased production of cassette players and recorders.
I thought you were going to say PS3.
No. In fact, they haven't ceased production yet. They are going to early 2013. I know this is devastating news. The news here is that they were still making them.
The worst thing is, I think they ceased mini discs about 2 years ago. And they've still been making cassette players.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're making mini discs. Gosh. That is the end of the news this week. Let's get a pick in. An end of year pick. From Ian?
I was going to say we've got to go on, but clearly not. I've mentioned this before, but there's a new version out, 1Password 4. So this is a service for storing all your passwords, accounts, anything you want to keep secret, but want to be able to sync on multiple platforms. It's out on Mac, Windows, and iOS devices. The Android app's rubbish. It's just like a reader. Doesn't let you add anything, but seemingly they are going to be working on that as well. The new app, so the previous one, but they're all paid apps. This isn't a free upgrade, or there's no upgrades in iOS, so it's a brand new app.
I'm sure that's causing consternation everywhere.
I think if you use it as much as I do, and other people do, then it's no biggie.
£5.49.
£5.49. The one I didn't like before was they were kind of doing these updates, and it was also separate iPad and iPhone app. Mm. And it was actually like this is adding up, but then
yes.
I use it all the time, you know. So yep. it's a no brainer. It's half price at the moment, so $5.49 is half price, and it goes to $10.99. The app's a lot cleaner. It was faster. The syncing was a lot better than my couple of syncs that I did today. Buy it.
Go buy it.
Go buy it. Treat yourself. You know why?
Why?
It's Christmas.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. And that is also...
No, it's really bad. It's Christmas and we've recommended like a utility. What the hell?
We could also recommend having your boiler serviced.
Thanks, Chris.
That's fine. My tip. Basically, that is the last element of our podcast for this 2012. It's been an awesome 2012 as far as I'm concerned. I loved it. But that is the last bit we're going to be podcasting about because we are now off until the new year. I'm guessing it'll be early new year, but we're probably talking about second week of January, right?
Second week CES is probably on and there'll be a whole lot of gadgets that we're talking about and going, ooh, look.
Yeah, so that's what we're aiming for and that's what we will likely deliver on. But yep, that's it for this year. So leaves us to say have a good rest of 2012, good Christmas and restful new year. We will speak to you a bit later. As ever, we will put stuff, if we want to put stuff up, on digitaloutbox.com. Email info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to have a non-response from us. And Twitter and Skype, we're on Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. I will occasionally let you know when I've had a mince pie or a bit of turkey. And where can we find you, Ian?
That was pretty slick.
Thank you.
Iand.net. Which I might resurrect because it's been in hiatus for 3 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of time now to actually put a post on there.
Yeah, or play Halo.
Yeah.
Or sell my Mac Mini.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's gone. Oh, it will go. We'll go soon.
Things changed. News bin. It's gone.
No, well, funnily enough, it was the same day. So maybe I'll tell the story. Iand.net and Sweeper Twitter. Twitter Sweeper.
App.net?
Iand Dick.
Yes, go on.
Thanks for that.
That's fine. Shows how much you use that. It has been, thank you very much for listening throughout the year. It's been a pleasure. And we look forward to talking to you next year. Speak to you then. Bye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Jingle bells.
I'll get out some of my diehard Christmas music.
Batman smells.
Batman doesn't smell.
Robin ran away.